it's all in, it's all gold. And if you could, you take our soul.
All we need is reparations.
Man, this land was built on the backs of blacks. Oh, you took it all, now we taking it back. Man, we all in the same boat. Like I'm a star, oh my God, yeah, we all in the same boat. Gotta deal with the pain, though. Both pockets on low, when you turn to the game, no. We all know how the game go. With the boats on freeze and the dope on season. But on a half leave the crime scene, the other half already in the streets of my dime peaks. Now I ain't trying to rewind time, but it seems that my kind's always on the front line. Genocide is too many black on black crimes. But realize, ain't no business on the black side. Nice wives turn crack wives. Husband and gone again, another black lie. Right before us on the sun's eyes. And sure they gon' be off the chain. You ain't gotta wonder why.
We don't need no explanations. We don't need no explanations. All we need is reparations. All we need is reparations.
Uhuru, and welcome to White Solidarity with Black Power, the show of the African People's Solidarity Committee. We broadcast here on Uhuru Radio every Sunday at 4 p.m. We want to thank the African People's Solidarity, we want to thank the African People's Socialist Party for giving us this hour every Sunday. We discuss issues relating to the question of solidarity with the struggle for the liberation of Africa led by the party and the Uhuru movement. The African People's Solidarity Committee is the organization formed by and led by the African People's Socialist Party. APSC is for North Americans, or Europeans, white people, who recognize that this social system is built on the enslavement of African people, on the genocide against the indigenous peoples of this land, and on the colonial domination of the majority of peoples on Earth. It is this reality that gives us our opportunities, prosperity, our experience of democracy at the expense of African peoples and so many other peoples on the planet. This show explores a principal relationship that we North Americans can have to African people struggling for their liberation and, by extension, the peoples of the world. This show is about turning loose our whiteness and finding our genuine interest in finding peace on the planet through real solidarity with the right of African people to control over Africa and all its resources. Today on the program, we're Penny Hess, the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, is going to be talking live from Philadelphia, where they're preparing to participate in a demonstration tomorrow at the International Rappaport Diamond Convention in New York City. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to the show, Penny.
Uhuru, Sandy. It's great to be here.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting, the demonstration coming up. Do you want to first just give a little overview for people who are not aware of what's going to be happening tomorrow in New York?
Yes, tomorrow in Manhattan, we are going to be protesting the Rappaport International Diamond Conference, which is going to be held at the New York Hilton. That's 1335 6th Avenue, or Avenue of the Americas, it's also called, at 54th Street, at West 54th Street. And we're going to have a protest. We're going to have guerrilla theater with some comrades who have put together a great little guerrilla play that we did in St. Pete in front of Baywalk to a huge success. It was excellent. And we're going to have a community forum that evening at the Church of the Village, 201 West 13th Street at 7th Avenue in New York City. And this is the whole theme, the name of it is All Diamonds Are Blood Diamonds. And it's calling for people to boycott the brutal diamond industry, and it's saying that Africa's diamonds and all of Africa's resources belong to African people everywhere. I think it's really timely for a number of reasons. One is that there's so many things going on that are being connected to or coordinated by or associated with the Uhuru movement led by the African People's Socialist Party all around the world right now. And I think that just this diamond issue is very important because people are trying to put out sort of an analysis that blood diamonds are an isolated thing, that they're just diamonds that are connected to the wars in Sierra Leone in the 1990s, but that mostly it's okay now. There's a process called the Kimberley Process set up by De Beers Diamond Cartel that makes it okay, when in fact all diamonds are blood diamonds, and the conditions of the so-called legitimate diamond industry for African workers are genocidal, they're brutal, their people are living under starvation levels as diamond workers, part of the colonial level legacy in Africa, in which the land was taken away and the resources of Africa benefit the white population of Europe. But I think that it's just really exciting, and that the diamond industry is on the defensive very much. So I know we'll be talking about that a little bit more, but just to put out a brief overview.
Well, yeah. Well, it seemed that the Leonardo DiCaprio movie Blood Diamonds had come out a while back, and then the discussion, as you say, was primarily on the question of conflict or blood diamonds. And then now, looking at the agenda of the Rapoport Conference, it looks as though they are addressing more than just the conflict diamonds or the so-called blood diamonds. And it seemed, I know we noticed that change, or there came a lot more attention and on the conditions of the people in Africa, right around the same time that the Uhuru movement had toured Cherno Alpha Mba throughout the country, where he was speaking about the conditions of the diamond workers in Sierra Leone. It seemed that had an impact, didn't it?
Well, yeah, that is how that's how the Uhuru movement first took up this campaign, because last year the party, as part of the connections that they made during building the African Socialist International, they hooked up with Cherno Alpha Mba, who leads the Africanist movement in Sierra Leone and eight other countries of West Africa, and which is all, every single one of them are De Beers, victimized by De Beers and by the diamond industry. The diamond industry is in every one of those countries.
Yes.
And so Cherno, one of the things that he was putting out in all of his presentations, he toured 16 cities in the U.S. and Europe, and one of the things that he was putting out was all diamonds are blood diamonds, that there's not just the diamonds that happened that were put on the open market during the time of the brutal renegade forces of the 1990s, and that was a very brutal attack on African people. But that's only one little legacy, one little part, chapter, you might say, in the whole 100-year legacy of De Beers, the diamond cartels, as part of the entire history of colonialism in Africa. That's about stealing the resources, committing genocide against African people, and putting them into slave-like conditions on their own land.
Well, you have an excellent pamphlet on the boycottdiamonds.net site where you really chronicled the development of the De Beers industry and the role of Cecil Rhodes, the colonizer of Rhodesia, what was called Rhodesia, named after him. Do you want to say give a little bit of that background?
Well, yes, but there are there's some other issues that I want to talk about today too, because we do have the pamphlet and we have a lot about that on it in the pamphlet, which has just been reissued. But yes, Cecil Rhodes was the agent of British imperialism in the 1880s and 1890s, early 1900s, in so-called settling southern Africa, South Africa, and Zimbabwe in particular, where he committed genocide against African people, killing as many as 5,000 in one afternoon with the machine guns, using mercenary soldiers and from England, who came from England, and their reward for participating in the genocide against the Shona and the other the Zulu and other African peoples in southern Africa was they were given, I think, 6,000 acres of land, quote unquote, of African land in Zimbabwe, in what is now Zimbabwe, but for 100 years was called Rhodesia as part of British colonialism.
Yeah, it was unthinkable violence, and today the Rhodes Scholarship is held up as a this is a great honor that if you granted a Rhodes Scholarship, but that's some of what that is based on. Well, earlier today on Uhuru Radio, Cherno Alpha Mba was a guest on the Africa Live program, and he was talking about what's going on in Guinea right now, which is another of the diamond area. Is that, can you talk a little bit about that and how that's related to the protest tomorrow at the Diamond Convention?
Well, tomorrow at the press conference, we will be putting out a statement of solidarity with the African people and the Africanist movement who are struggling against the brutal Conte dictatorship as a neo-colonialist in Guinea under U.S. and France and a puppet of the Western powers. And De Beers is very much in Guinea-Conakry as well. And we will, the people have been on a general strike for over 2 weeks now. Basically, they're living under martial law. 60 people have been killed by the neo-colonial forces. And it's all part and parcel of the same thing. The people have no food. The price of rice has been raised, and rice is a staple of the diet. People, just regular working people, now cannot afford to buy rice. They have no rights to strike, or there's retaliation against them. They have no ability to have democratic rights. So they are struggling around that and calling for Conte to resign. He is very ill, and he may have to resign. But it's a powerful struggle, and it's been very underreported in the U.S. press. So I think that it's important that we raise this at the Diamonds demonstration and show the parasitic relationship that the diamond industry has overall to all the conditions faced in West Africa and many other parts of Africa.
Absolutely, and it's so inspiring, that struggle, because despite the repression and those conditions, from what I am reading in the press, the whole economy has been shut down for the last few weeks. There have been general strikes, and there's a serious struggle on the part of African people to gain control and benefit from their resources.
Yes.
Very inspiring.
Yes. I think that, again, and there's struggle in many parts of Africa. We don't hear about it. I mean, just reading about the struggle in Nigeria by the forces in the Niger Delta to take over the oil, and they call it blood oil, and they're saying that the people are starving, and not only are they starving in the Niger Delta, but their ability to fish and hunt and even, just do a subsistence lifestyle has been destroyed by the environmental damage done by Shell Oil. So they have been in struggle in the last year. That's another place. We don't hear that much about it, but they are determined that if they can't, if the oil of Nigeria cannot benefit the people of Nigeria, then nobody gets it. Nobody gets it.
That's right.
They're pushing it out.
That's right.
Because it's a struggle for Africa's resources to belong to African people. And what could be more obvious? I mean, that just makes so much sense. Why is it that is just never given as an alternative.
That's right.
It's what the people of Iraq are struggling for. It's what the people, that's what Chavez is struggling for. Look how he's using the resources from the oil to benefit not only all the working and oppressed peoples in his own country, but oppressed people around the world.
That's right.
You know, he's using these resources, which is driving imperialism crazy.
I know.
But a really powerful stand.
That's right.
And this is the issue. It makes sense. And I just think that there is this hideous colonial idea that African people are supposed to be poor.
Right.
African people in Africa, the resources of Africa are so vast.
Right.
That African people should be the absolute most prosperous people per capita in the world. You know,
that's right.
That's absolutely how it should be.
Right.
It should be Europe that would be struggling on 30 cents a day.
Right. Well,
we have the stolen resources and benefit from it. But African, all of that is changing. And I think that, you know, it's really exciting that tomorrow we're going to be demonstrating around this question of the diamonds, but it's not going to be an abstract issue. It's going to deal with real struggles that are going on right today. And just one other thing I would say about that is that an important part of this is that African people around the world are one people. That means in Brooklyn, in Queens, in New York, in Oakland, California, any other place that African people are throughout the United States, in New Orleans. I mean, that's really clear that it's a colony inside the borders of the United States. African people in Suriname, in Jamaica, in the Virgin Islands, and Brazil, and every place that they're located throughout the Americas, throughout the Caribbean, throughout Europe, as well as throughout Africa, the entire African world, are African people. And if Africa and African people had the power over their resources and over their land, the U.S. and the police in New York City would not be able to shoot down Sean Bell as they did
right.
in November on his wedding day, early morning on his wedding day, with 50 bullets
right.
and seriously wound two other comrades who are with him. They would not be able to shoot down Amadou Diallo with 40 bullets as they did, or do what they did to the man from Haiti. You know, this is the reality. They would not be able to do what they do, you know, have done to the people of New Orleans, to African people in New Orleans. That would not be able to happen. And I think that it's really significant, and again, because we're not just talking about a way that white people can continue to be parasitic by buying diamonds that seem to be not dripping in blood, but in fact all of it is tainted and filthy and dripping in the blood of African people and the peoples on the planet Earth.
Well, the diamond industry is clearly on the defensive. They
yes.
are coming out with all kinds of publicity. We're doing major PR campaign to try and save their bloody industry. I know some of the things they've been saying is, don't boycott diamonds because that is bad for Africa. African diamond economy is good for Africa.
Yes, I know some comrades from APSC put together a promo for the demonstration and the event tomorrow on YouTube. And also on that page or in that area is a something put together by Martin Rappaport, who's a white man from, I mean, he sounds like he has a U.S. accent, who owns diamond mines in Sierra Leone. And on this video, it shows him amidst all of these hundreds, scores and scores of African, impoverished African diamond diggers up to their knees in water, young people, children, teenagers, you know, looking for diamonds. And he was saying, well, we are doing such a great job because we can't boycott diamonds, because if we boycott all diamonds, these people would have nothing to eat. He said, we give
they
them...
They have nothing to eat now.
Exactly. He said, we give them a cup of rice a day, and that's all they have to eat. And he said, you have to look at the context, because so many of these young people are teenagers working in the diamond mines because their parents died of AIDS. And if they didn't work, their sisters would be have to be in prostitution, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So he's saying that giving diamond workers, Africans, on their own land, 30 cents for back-breaking labor, and you know it's not an eight-hour day.
Right.
It's probably 12, 14, even 20 hours.
Right.
You know, for 30 cents a day and a friggin' cup of rice, you know. That he's saying that's a good thing. We're supposed to feel good about that.
That's
and
right.
It's just, you know, this is, it's just absurd. So that's one of the things that we can really push on, that people, of course, boycott diamonds. People are starving to death, suffering, working back-breaking labor and having no benefit of their own resources from their own land. But the other interesting thing that I think is really powerful is that the International Diamond Conference started out with the question of blood diamonds as being one of the many, many different agenda items for the day. Some of them were better marketing, how to promote this and that, and, you know, just regular business questions.
Right.
But because of this demonstration and because of this world scrutiny against the diamond industry that is, you know, they've had to change the agenda, the entire agenda to the conference of the conference, so that now the whole day is dedicated to the question of social justice, so-called, in this way.
They are fighting and for their lives.
They're fighting for their lives, and their website says that they are in the greatest crisis that they've ever been in their history.
Thanks to the resistance of African people.
Yeah, and I think that's really powerful, and I think it's also important to say that they don't talk that much about blood diamonds anymore. They talk about, they have to talk about the conditions.
That's right.
In Africa, and their own website is saying, well, the diamond miners in our own diamond industry cannot even afford to keep their own children alive, because 28% of African children in Sierra Leone and West Africa die of curable disease or malnutrition before the age of 5. So, but it's just so, you know, outrageous, because this is, it's like, well, they never noticed before. They've been doing this for 100 years.
I know. Oh, we just noticed.
You know, so that's why there's no possibility of charity as an answer. There's nothing that De Beers can do to give them another dollar a day, or make it $2 a day, or two cups of rice a day. It's not going to change it now, because this understanding is gripping the world and sweeping the world by fire, that you know, the resources of the people belong to the people. The resources belong to Africa and African people everywhere, and this is being heard. This is the resounding cry around the world, and I think it's very powerful.
Right. I want to tell listeners that if you would like to call in, we are talking with Penny Hess, the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, regarding the struggle to expose and the diamond industry and to turn over the resources of Africa to the control of African people. The call-in number here is, if you're within the U.S., you can call toll-free at 1-877-824-3337. If you're outside the U.S., you can call 001 and then 727-824-5700. We do have a caller on the line. Can we take a call, Penny?
Yes, we can.
Caller, are you there?
Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Hey, this is Rob Marowitz calling you.
Uhuru.
Uhuru, Rob.
Uhuru. Well, you know, I'm away from a computer right now. I'm actually in New York City doing some outreach for the event that Penny's talking about. I could hear while I was on hold you guys are discussing around the diamond issue and the conference tomorrow.
That's right.
And glad you're doing that. I just wanted to call up and make sure that we're getting the information out to everyone that, through Uhuru Radio, that we are having a protest and a conference tomorrow at noon. That's going to be at the New York Hilton, which is on 54th Street and 6th Avenue.
Despite the sub-zero temperatures, you're going to be protesting.
I can't feel my toes right now. Yes, we are going on with our protest.
Excellent.
And also, everyone in New York area should know that there's going to be a community forum tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and that's at the Church of the Village, which is 201 West 13th and 7th Ave in New York City. And that's Peck is going to be there, of course, as well as Dion Obara and Aisha Fields, and we're all going to have a great program around the diamond issues that we're talking about, as well as the liberation of Africa and African people, of course.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Rob.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make sure that got out there, and you know, encourage you to continue talking around this issue on Uhuru Radio and using this powerful resource to forward the revolution. And just say Uhuru.
Uhuru, thank
Uhuru.
You.
See you tomorrow.
Well, it's very exciting, the work that's happening around this. You were just talking about some of the arguments and the defenses that the diamond industry is trying to use. One of the things that they're talking about in relation to the blood diamonds or the conflict diamonds is this new, relatively new Kimberley process, where they're saying if the diamond is certified through the Kimberley process, then it's a clean, ethical diamond, and you know, has not caused suffering on African people. What's the story on the Kimberley process?
Well, you know, the full name of the Kimberley process is the Kimberley Process Certification Scheme, and that's exactly what it is. It's a scheme and a scam to actually try to maintain the control that De Beers has over the world market of diamonds. And that's very important because De Beers is a cartel. I guess you could say a notch or two above a monopoly. It controls the entire commodity of diamonds. It controls everything about it. In fact, just to say on that, this Rappaport International Diamond Conference that we're going to tomorrow, there's a thing called the Rappaport Report. They call it the RAP Report. And that determines, the Rappaport Report determines the price of diamonds worldwide. That's what
really?
They do. So every aspect of the diamond is controlled by De Beers, 80% of it. So that means the digging, the mining, that means the cutting, the polishing, the setting into stones, and even the selling of it, what the price will be on every level, the price rough diamonds, the price of polished diamonds not set into stone. And, you know, they every single thing they see over it. In fact, if, let's say, Tiffany's or let's say Diamond Central or Zayers or, you know, Zales or whatever that is in the United States, some of these diamond places, when they get diamonds, they can't just order what they want. They are given a box of diamonds, registered diamonds from De Beers directly. And they have to, and that box has all different sizes and kinds of diamonds in it. So they have to work with that. That's what they're given. And the higher up they are in this whole hierarchy, the better diamonds they get. So that an upper class jeweler like Tiffany's gets better dibs than Zales, you know.
So the Kimberley process is basically saying that the Kimberley diamond is one that is extracted and processed entirely under the control of De Beers, as opposed to diamonds that would have been, you know, extracted or you know, polished or whatever from some kind of independent or separate process outside of De Beers' control. It's just saying it's a stamp of De Beers.
Right, exactly. And the thing is, but I think it's really important that they control every aspect of it, because this is what, so that even intra-diamond industry, there's struggles around that, because Tiffany's at different times has tried to separate that. The U.S. diamond industry has tried to separate itself from the De Beers, but they've never been able to. And De Beers is a power within itself. We don't even know how many billions of dollars they make. And they have their own armies. They are not beholden to the laws of South Africa where the Oppenheimers live. They can do anything they want. They can trade with whoever they want, regardless of whatever it says there. So when in the 1990s, when these renegade forces, who are just another neo-colonial force under the Western powers, you know, making sure that revolutionary movements would never grow up inside of West Africa and that the diamonds would be protected. You know, dividing the African people just like the U.S. is doing in Iraq right now in order to control it. And so they had these brutal forces who carried out torture and fratricide against African people. And they supposedly took over a mine or two in West Africa and were selling their diamonds outside of the market as controlled by De Beers. So De Beers did not want that to happen, not because they were concerned about the people of Africa, but again, they had to control the market. And it's important to mention as well is that diamonds are not inherently valuable. The value has been created by the artificial scarcity which has been created by De Beers itself. They force many countries and many mines to keep diamonds off the market. Mm-hmm. So they're warehoused and they're not able to be sold. But they have enormous warehouses of diamonds sitting around.
Now, what about the diamonds coming out of Canada or Russia?
Well, some people say that those are clean diamonds, and they're not for a number of reasons. First of all, they're not because in Canada, for example, the indigenous people are struggling against De Beers. Same thing in the upper peninsulas of Canada where De Beers has found diamonds. They're attempting to, you know, open diamond mines there by pushing the indigenous people off their lands, you know, and off their territory. So the indigenous people there, the Ojibwa and other people, are fighting De Beers in Canada. Also in Russia, which we're talking about, the diamond mines are in Siberia. There are indigenous peoples in Siberia as well battling these diamond mines. Also, I recently read that the Russian diamond mines are now purchasing diamond mines in Congo. So, you know, it's very, very tainted. But more than that, because it is a cartel, because it is a world economy, there's no diamond mine, no matter how great the, you know, the wages might be or the conditions for the workers might be or even that the workers own it or anything like that, it still can't be clean because the price of all diamonds are artificially inflated by the fact that it's near slave labor of African people in Africa.
Well, and like you say, it's part of the colonial legacy because it's not the indigenous people that own or control that resource.
That's right.
The diamond industry also, in their materials, they've put up websites, they've done all kinds of stuff to try and combat the exposure of just what you're talking about. And one of the things that they've talked about is the wonderful health and education benefits that the people in Botswana receive as a consequence of the diamond industry. What's your take on that?
Well, that's completely false. And it's been exposed, you know, in the work that we've done, but we've even seen things on other websites and stuff exposing some of that. First of all, you have to look at the statistics that you can find, the UN or even the CIA statistics that are online that say that Botswana has a minimum of 25% of the people, if not more, living under a dollar a day. It has, I think, 50% under $2 a day. It has the highest per capita AIDS population in the entire world, with no access to that. It has no schools, no electricity, no clean water in many areas, in many parts of the country. De Beers says that it is putting money into those things, which is ridiculous. We saw a website or a documentary that said that one of the schools that De Beers supposedly built had no conditioning, no books. It was so hot you couldn't even go in the building, you know, kind of thing. So it's a scam, and whatever drugs and medications they say they're giving to the people with AIDS is something, some deal that they're in with U.S. pharmaceuticals or something. I mean, it's not benefiting the people. It's not changing the statistics. The people are desperately impoverished. There's also no democratic rights in Botswana. the diamond workers 2 years ago went on strike, just asking for a little bit more money, a little bit higher wages.
Penny, before you go into that aspect of it, we do have another caller. Can we take that?
Yes, we can.
Caller, you're on air.
Uhuru, Sandy. It's Maureen from California, from the African People Solidarity Committee. Uhuru, Penny.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. I just wanted to say that this campaign is really exciting in so many different ways, and you can really see the impact it's having by the things that you're saying about how they're really on the defensive. But I think that, you know, one thing about it is that the diamonds are just one of the resources of Africa that are being taken out of Africa, as you mentioned.
Yes.
And it really does open up the question of how all the resources are being taken out of Africa and how African people, you know, should be really prosperous, and that everything that we take for granted in our lives has come out of Africa. So I think it's a really exciting campaign. And you were talking about the conditions, the health conditions in Africa, and I wanted to mention a couple things. One is I work with the Uhuru African Liberation Solidarity Campaign,
yes.
And one of the things that we're supporting is a program of the Uhuru Movement called the All African People's Development and Empowerment Foundation. And I think it's interesting that you see Africa in the news a lot today in terms of the question of charity, but it's really clear that charity has done nothing for Africa. The conditions, I mean, it hasn't changed the conditions.
Right.
And this organization, this campaign that the Uhuru Movement is starting is one that's going to empower Africans in Africa, around the world, as you were saying. If Africans had control, Sean Bell couldn't have been shot like that. And in relationship to the Diamond Campaign, one of the fundraisers or ways to support it or ways to do reparations is to donate your diamonds back to this campaign.
Yes.
So I wanted to mention that. I don't know if you're going to be talking about that tomorrow in New York, but that is something that people can do, is really, you know, support this and give the diamonds back to Africa. And it's not about a certification process like the Kimberley process, but the fact that Africans control their own resources, and these are resources that can go back in the hands of African people who are going to change their own conditions. It's not going to be through charity.
That's right.
And then another thing, too, is that you mentioned that a lot of the African population in Africa lives on a dollar a day or less. In some places, maybe $2 a day, and we have a campaign to call on white people to really support the programs of the Uhuru Movement by donating a dollar a day. And you can do that by going to the APSC website and making a monthly contribution, or by sending in a check to the Uhuru African Liberation Solidarity Campaign, by donating at the event in New York on Monday night. So those were some of the things I want to mention, but I just think it's really exciting. I think the demonstration tomorrow is going to be really powerful and really, really historically significant. And, really applaud everybody who's going to be out there in the cold, really being on the forefront of this issue.
Yes, well, I'm really glad you called in with that, Maureen, and I think that's a really important part of the strategy of the African People Solidarity Committee. Because, you know, and it's not donate your diamond, it's give back your diamond. It's a stance of reparations. It's a way of acknowledging that the diamonds are just a symbol of the entire blood-drenched set of resources that we enjoy in this country because of the conditions of in Africa, because of slavery, because of colonialism. That there really isn't anything, if we want to talk
mm-hmm.
about it,
there's,
mm-hmm. that is not soaked in the blood of African people or people around the world, not our cell phones, not computers, not oil, not jeans, not sneakers. You know, all of it has bloody history. And I think that this is, the question of the diamonds is a really important way for us to be able to expose that. But I think that also what is exciting is that then people can do something really, really concrete by returning the diamond to Africa so that those resources can go towards the projects that you're talking about of building sustainable electricity, building clean water, water purification programs led by Dr. Aisha Fields from the African People's Socialist Party, who is going to be one of the speakers at the event tomorrow. But it's powerful to see, you know, that those things will be determined by... led by African people from this country, African people from other parts of the world, but African people in the villages and towns in West Africa and other parts of Africa themselves. So it's really real. It's concrete. We can't pretend that there's no face to, you know, to this reality that we're talking about. And it's on the ground. There are people struggling for it to change, and there's something very, very concrete that North Americans can give to. So I'm very excited about that.
Penny, you mentioned Dr. Aisha Fields, and maybe before we go on too much longer, we should talk a little bit about the event that's going to take place tomorrow evening. Of course, there's the press conference and demonstration and street theater at the Hilton Hotel in New York City at noon, protesting the Rappaport International Diamond Conference. And then in the evening, there's an event at Church of the Village. I know you will be speaking there, Penny, and can you talk about the other speakers and what they will be talking about?
Yes. Well, one of the main speakers will be Aisha Field. She will be giving her PowerPoint presentation, which just shows step-by-step how the water purification programs and the development and empowerment programs of West Africa can be implemented in very simple ways and very inexpensive ways. And there are very concrete things that, again, that other white people can give money to. Aisha will be talking about that. She is the coordinator of the African People's Development and Empowerment Programs of Africa. Well, not just in Africa. It could be in New Orleans. It could be in Louisiana. It's all over the world wherever African people are going to be. But some of the first programs that she will be working on will be bringing electrification and clean water to different areas of Africa.
Well, I saw that PowerPoint presentation that she made when she was here in St. Petersburg, Florida for the African People's Solidarity Day. And one of the slides that was most impressive was, I guess, an actual satellite, from space photograph of the planet at night,
yes,
where you could see where there were lights. And
right,
that, of course, all throughout North America and concentration in Europe and then in Africa, a few little bits of light down in South Africa where the white settler colonialists are concentrated, and then all of Africa without electricity. And it's just when you consider the amount of resources coming out of there that people would have to go and spend all day looking for wood to burn in order to cook their food because they don't have power. It's just unbelievable.
It is, and it's an outrage, and it's not something that, again, that the charity is going to solve. African people are going to solve it by taking back their land and national liberation, the liberation of Africa. And I agree with you that that is a very striking picture of Africa at night, or the world at night, and to see just this little trickle of lights around the coast of Africa. But most of the internal areas of Africa are completely without electrification. And even in Sierra Leone and places like that, and there was something I saw somewhere on the internet that Sierra Leone just got street lights in Freetown, the capital.
Hmm.
But they say that Freetown is the noisiest city in the world because people use generators if they're lucky. And of course that means the Chinese and the Europeans and the North Americans that are there in the tourist areas,
right,
have electricity,
right,
of some sort. But the people have no ability. I mean, children are studying by candlelight, something that we would think of here 150 years ago.
Well, and also wanted to add, when you talk about people living on a dollar a day, I think a lot of times people in America, white people in America in particular, think about, oh, well, that's just because a dollar isn't the same there as it is here. Stuff costs so much here. And so, you know, people don't, you know, people could just kind of write that off like, well, you know, they don't really right. need more than that over there or something. And it's so offensive and completely untrue. Even like here in the U.S., where you go into the African community and stuff actually costs more. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go into the corner market, you go, every commodity actually costs more. So yes, it's you got to think about yourself. What would it mean if you were living on $30 a month? You'd be in a squat, you know, scrambling through the dumpster. I mean, you had nothing. You have nothing.
That's right. And it's why, you know, in Guinea, Conakry right now, the people are in enormous rebellion because the price of rice went up 5 cents or 10 cents.
That's right.
They cannot afford it. They can't eat. And it's right, and it's, we have to see that. In fact, things are more expensive there.
Right.
And, you know, and they keep the U.S. and the World Bank and all its puppets and the WTO and all that keep devaluing the currency of those countries, so it's worth less and less and less. I mean, the 30 cents a day is something like 3,500 leones, you know.
Right.
In Sierra Leone.
Right.
And it's worthless. It's like this big pile of money, which is worthless.
And in the U.S., there is such a complete glut of resources. I mean, I used to work in food service, in catering, and the amount of food that would be thrown away every night. And the
right.
biggest problem for health of white people in America is obesity.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, it's completely upside down. It's just completely unacceptable.
That's right. So, I mean, I think that it's really important for us as white people to get involved with this. Don't, you know, give back your diamond. Begin to, you know, sign up to give a dollar a day. Everybody can
yes.
give a dollar a day.
That's right.
And that would be $365 a year that would be in a stable way going to the work that the African People's Socialist Party is trying to do to unite African people around the world. And that's a real thing. You can get involved through the Uhuru movement, come out to the Diamonds demonstrations, or all different kinds of events that we're having around the country. You know, it's something that we need to get active.
Yeah, I'm doing it, and it's so easy.
Back.
It's really easy to do the dollar a day, because you go online, you sign up, it comes off your credit card, it comes off your debit card, whatever, every month. So people, you know, and you don't even notice it when it does that. So people need to go and do that.
People are spending at least $3 a day at Starbucks.
That's right. At least.
So, that, you know, you can give, and of course, a dollar a day is just the beginning. You can give a lot more than
yes.
that. You can give $5 a day, $10
yes.
a day.
We have about five more minutes. You mentioned about Dr. Aisha Fields. Also, Rob had mentioned that Diop Olugbala
yes.
is speaking. Can you say who he is?
Yes. Diop is the powerful young member of the African People's Socialist Party. He is also the international organizer of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, and he travels all over the country, but he's based in New York. He's a powerful speaker, brilliant young organizer, just it's really powerful to hear him speak. He was the coordinator of the Sean Bell Justice Tribunal that was held in Brooklyn last weekend. That was just excellent and really exciting to see. And Sean Bell
is the young African man who was killed as he came out of the club where his bachelor party was being held, and he was unarmed, and
yeah.
the police opened fire
yeah.
and killed him
on his wedding day.
Yes.
And, you know, so Diop will be speaking. He's a powerful speaker, and I really appreciate his presentations. You know, and I've seen him, of course, in particular times when he is speaking to North Americans, and I feel that he has a very good, just brilliant way of getting right to the heart of the questions with white people. You know, just putting out the reality of African people, and he just gets right down to what the relationship of North Americans and white people should be.
I agree. I really encourage people to go out and hear Diop Olugbala and Dr. Aisha Fields, as well as yourself. That's going to be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Church of the Village.
Yes, 201 West 13th. at 7th Avenue in New York City, and it's near the number 1, the number 2, and the number 3 trains. So it's and many buses. It's actually very easy to get to. It's one block from 14th Street, 6th Avenue and 14th Street. There's just about, you know, lots of subway stops and bus stops. So it's very easy to get to that. That would be tomorrow evening at 7.
And anybody who didn't get that down, you can go and get all that information at boycottdiamonds.net.
That's right, so boycottdiamonds.net.
Yep. We have a few more minutes. You want to just talk a little bit more about what the solution is, I know I was listening earlier this morning, because the work of the African People's Solidarity Committee is to build solidarity and support for the strategy of the African People's Socialist Party, which is uniting all of Africa for a free and independent Africa. Yes. Do you want to say a little bit more about just what the solution is and what kind of future we're envisioning in doing this work?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is the most important work that we could possibly be doing, and it's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to be connected to the struggle of African people beyond, you know, just what we see in this country or what we see in Sierra Leone as an isolated way. And, you know, we could look at the conditions of African people in this country and see that the enormous amount, 30% of young African men of childbearing age are tied to the prison system, which is genocide under international law. And we can see the enormous wealth that the prison system, the illegal drug economy, all of this, the war, the counterinsurgency against African people brings into the white community. It's just another way. The relationship that we have to African people, no matter where they are on the planet, is a parasitic one.
That's right.
It's about taking the resources and benefiting ourselves so that our kids can grow up and have prosperity and jobs and a future and travel and do whatever they want to do. And the world is very small now, even though there's not electricity, an electrical grid in Sierra Leone or other places. The people still manage to get on the internet. They still manage, it's out there. They can see it. They can see that their resources are being used and enjoyed by the white children of Europe and North America, and that they are saying, no, it's come down to the wire. You know, so I feel that when we look at our lives and we can see the alienation that we live in and just the meaninglessness of life for most of us, we can see what this system that has committed genocide and enslaved people around the world and colonized people, what it's done to the environment. Look at this. The environment's, you know, now they're saying it's so bad that it's unbelievable. It's just galloping along at breakneck speed. It's deteriorating, and it's just a symptom of a system that has brutally enslaved the peoples on the planet Earth for our benefit. There's so much truth out there that we have to look at.
That's
and
right.
I just feel that as long as we stay isolated from everybody else on the planet, then our lives are lives of fear and alienation and denial and gluttony and getting fatter and fatter and spending more and more and going greater and more into debt and, you know, having the mall and eating dinner out as being, you know, the meaning of our lives.
That's
and that's
no
why
life.
We have to take drugs and everything else.
That's
but
no
to,
life.
To be part of really changing the world, to really be under the leadership of an organization that is uniting African people day by day as we speak. And we see, and we haven't even talked about its relationship to actual organizations on the ground in Azania in South Africa right now, or in Kenya, or, you know, in Ethiopia, in Amsterdam, Holland, and Berlin, and everywhere. These are real people taking up the call and uniting.
Uhuru.
It is so dynamic and exciting. It's the only thing to be part of.
That's right. Thank you so much. And our time is up now. I just want to encourage listeners to support Uhuru Radio. This is the only place that you hear the breaking news from the perspective of the African working class, the International African Revolution. You can support Uhuru Radio by going to the uhururadio.com site and going to the subscribe page. For as little as $10 a month, you have free unlimited access to downloads of Chairman O'Malley's speeches that are just, there's nothing else like it. There's just explains the world, presents a vision for the world, and so really want to call on people to subscribe, become subscribers, become members of uhururadio.com. Tomorrow, if you're in New York, you need to be at the Hilton Hotel at noon to protest the Rappaport International Diamond Conference, and then at the Church of the Village at 7 to hear from these incredible speakers that we've just been talking about.
And so, go to boycottdiamonds.net.
Yes, boycottdiamonds.net, and get involved.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you. Uhuru.
Uhuru.